Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Improvised explosive devices in Iraq. Rocket-propelled grenades from insurgents in Afghanistan. Drunk drivers killing those on our streets and highways. People leaving children and animals in hot cars that die. These are things that fill our headlines. And they sound a lot like the Old Testament lesson from Zechariah today. Chariots in Ephraim, war horses in Jerusalem, battle bows being broken, prisoners, pits, and fortresses. Other than the technology, not a lot has changed from the headlines in Zechariah's day to today's headlines, has it? Now, Zechariah was a prophet and a priest in the time of the return of the Jewish exiles from the Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem about 500 years before Jesus was born. Now, Zechariah was a part of those who were first returned over the course, believe it or not, of about 100 years that came back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple. His message for the returning people to rebuild their way of life was a return not just from Babylon, but also it was a return to faithfulness. Faithfulness to God's word, faithfulness to God's promises. It's interesting that some of our headlines today also come from the region of Babylon, where the Jews were kept as captives. But Zechariah, returning from there, along with the prophet Haggai, was among the voices God used to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And the battle that he spoke of was as much a spiritual battle as it was anything else. The battle was over the minds and the hearts of the people to return to the ways of faithfulness and steadfastness to the Lord. Now, by God's mighty hand, they were again being taken from captivity, and again the land was once given that was once given to them when after leaving Egypt. And like then, back then, the call was to be faithful to God, to the God who had been faithful to them. Notice in verses 10 through 12, it is I, the Lord who promises to remove the chariots and the war horses. And it is he who breaks the battle bows. It's he who sets the prisoners free. God is the one who does these things. It's not the people. They don't do any of this on their own. It's God's grace that wins. It's God's grace that wins the battle. It's God's grace that succeeds in bringing the people back from captivity. And it's God's grace that restores to them, as it says in verse 12 from the Old Testament reading, it restores to them twice as much. The question then for the people returning from exile is, how will they live in the twice as much of God's grace? How will they live? God has won the victory, defeated the foe, and God is the one who's triumphed in battle. God's victory. Now, God's victory is something that St. Paul makes reference to in the epistle lesson to the Romans. He keeps the theme going, but Paul brings it closer to home for you and I. The battle is now up close and personal. What we've seen in the Old Testament on a grand scale now scales down to the personal battles that we all fight. The battle with sin and temptation. Original sin is ever present and ever maddening. Simul Justus et Peccator, the same time sinner and saint. Luther once said, original sin in a man is like his beard, which though shaved off today so that a man is very smooth around his mouth, yet grows again by tomorrow morning. As long as a man lives, such growth of the hair and the beard does not stop. But when the shovel beats the ground on his grave, I love the way he writes things. But when the shovel beats the ground on his grave, then it stops. Just so, Luther goes on to say, just so original sin remains in us and stirs itself up as long as we live, but we must resist it and always cut off its hair. Don't you love? I just love his expressions. Because what Luther says is true. But it's also true that it's Christ who does the shaving. That's what Paul is getting at by saying, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus Christ is our rescue from the body of death that we carry around. Just as in the Old Testament lesson, it's God's grace that grants the victory, so also in the fight that we have with temptation. It is God who gives. It is God who gives the victory. Now, the outline of wretchedness that St. Paul has described in verses 14 to 23, that's familiar to all of us in many ways. Who of us hasn't realized many times over that where he says, nothing good lives in me? That I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So, I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. So says St. Paul. The war, the battle, the fight that we are in is daily. It is moment by moment. And as Luther pointed out, though we shave it off daily, and doing so through repentance, that's how we shave it off daily, through repentance and trust in Jesus' work on the cross, that sin still comes back at us. The sin that's within our human nature fights, wars with us to remain in control of us. Our human nature is always, always, always at odds with the new nature that is ours through the washing and regeneration in the gift of faith that Jesus gives to us. Now, oftentimes when I baptize infants, they cry and they fuss. And you've heard me say it before, because I heard it from somebody else that told me that they do it because they're getting the hell washed out of them. You know? So the struggle, the battle that with sin, that's what we're left with after our baptism. Though the old nature, the old Adam in us, is drowned in the renewing waters of baptism, that same old Adam, as again, I'm sure I've told you before, he's a good swimmer. He's a good swimmer. And he never wants to give up someone who he thinks he's claimed for himself, someone who he thinks he's successfully separated from God and his promises. The battle with our old Adam, with our old nature, is what St. Paul in the epistle lesson is railing against. And we hear him, and we echo his argument. We know that we've lost the battle many times, don't we? So often people like to think that humans are basically good by nature. But we know better. We know better. Many people who talk about resisting temptation assume that we have the willpower and the strength to defeat temptation on our own. They have a wrongly optimistic view of the nature of people. Ogden Nash satirically wrote, "I could resist anything except temptation."
Yeah.
And the only way to get rid of temptation is to give in to it. Now, there's more truth in his words than we would like to admit. And then there's the French writer La Rochefoucauld. Back in 1665, he wrote it like this. He says, "When we successfully resist a temptation, it's usually because that temptation was weak, not because we are strong." I like that. It's important that we recognize how strong temptation is. And it's also important to recognize how limited our own strength is in dealing with it. Only then, when we realize that, will we begin to understand all that Christ has accomplished for us. It's not because we have won the battles of life that we're confident as Christians, but because we've been given the victory in Christ. It's not because we're so sure of our strength in the face of temptation, but because we're sure of Christ's presence and his power in us by faith alone. Now, in the gospel lesson today, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." For those who are weary of battle, rest is what Jesus brings. For those tired and worn from the fight, the rest for our souls is what Jesus gives. It's God who has sent Jesus Christ to the cross to accomplish this for us. For us. Now, before we close, I want to look back at the Old Testament lesson once more. And see there not only the headlines, both old headlines and new headlines, but also see the good news of God's mercy and grace. In the words of Zechariah, we're given the reason why God is so lavish with his grace and mercy. Verse 11 says, "As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free you." That blood of the covenant is what Jesus shed on the cross for us. That blood of the covenant is what we come forward tonight to partake of in Holy Communion. That heals us. It restores us. It gives us Jesus' victory over our sin. By his death, the blood of the covenant is poured out, and he has fought the fight for us. By his resurrection, he has gained for us the victory over temptation, over sin, and even over death. That being set free that Zechariah speaks of is ours by grace through faith alone in the name of Jesus. And like the Israelites returning to Jerusalem, who answer the same question, we need to now answer that same question for ourselves. How will the headlines in our lives now read as we live in God's grace this week? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight.